but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Bruce Barnum joins us every Tuesday on the radio show. Big development over the weekend as Portland State built an early lead. Cal Poly came back in the third quarter, made it tight, and then the Vikings closed it out with a big victory on Saturday. First win of the year, 40-35 is the final. On the road, Bruce Barnum joining us. What did that feel like? What did that feel like to go get a W?
The sky's blue, John. It was a fun one. The guys celebrated like we'd won all nine. I mean, it was to see the team and the staff and the organization like that. It was, you can't buy that stuff. That's why you do this. That's why you come. That's why you're involved in sports and offshoot things. You can't buy what I saw and experienced on Saturday. It was cool beans.
I have to ask you, you know, as you're game planning for Cal Poly, do you see some things that you think, okay, we got a shot to win this one, or do you feel like that every week as a coach?
Well, you find their strengths and weaknesses every week. You know, you can gauge it, you know, and make your personnel moves. We started two freshmen at guards. That was you never hear an offensive lineman. The only way they can rob a bank, you know, you still don't know their name. But there's two unsung heroes that played there. I mean, but looking at them, you know, on defense, I knew 44, Mike D'Amato. He's like their heart and soul. And a unique individual, by the way. We'll have to talk about that if we had time. That's how we developed it. We wanted to keep it away from 44. He's a Mike linebacker, so everything went perimeter, et cetera. He's leading the nation in tackles. So, and I talked to him after the game. He's like, Coach, that game plan. He said, I feel like I was just running around for three quarters. I said, I had to come at you at the end, D'Amato, because, you know, it's 4-minute offense. And I said, he's going to get his tackles. But anyway, yeah, we did. And we went down there and it worked. We were able to run the ball. You know, I looked at the staff, made fun of me because, or they laughed. I said, oh, second and four. This is easy, you know, instead of second and 11 every time you run. But that's the difference. We ran the ball, and we had some turnovers from our defense. We had a young man make National Player of the Week, Carson Mamre. That was a fun day.
Help me out with this. When you are having that kind of success running the football, and I noticed, yeah, you were having some success on the perimeter, but you were also running through the A-gap and the B-gap.
Well, the perimeter helps that, obviously, and they thought, initially, that they were going to stop us evened up. So no tight ends, single back, so we have five blocking. Most people put six in there to stop your run, whether it's cover one or leaving a guy in the gray area on the edge, a linebacker that can fire and not be blocked. They say we're going to stop you with these four because of that 44 kid. But they weren't able to, which was helped out a lot. And again, flashback to the offensive line, two freshmen at our guards. I'm not going to say their names because I don't want them to get bought, you know, in today's culture. So I'm going to grow them for a couple more years, and then you can buy them. Anyway, they played really well.
DeLon Thompson, 184 yards, three touchdowns rushing, another receiving touchdown. I was watching the game. He was cooking, and you just kept feeding him.
Yes, and his hand, you know, he had a cast on his. He got his cast off, so he started flipping it to him out of the backfield as well. And he was electric, you know. He popped, and then we come out in the second half. Everybody thought this was his best run. He broke like a, I don't know, 70-yarder.
77. I was watching you. 70. Yeah.
Yeah. And those weren't my favorites, the 6-yard pops, you know. again, the second and fours, any OC can look good.
I thought the real turning point was after, you know, Cal Poly got back in the game because you had a big lead, and then all of a sudden in the third quarter, they scored twice to kind of end the third quarter, and I thought, uh-oh, here they come. And on your subsequent drive, I think the very first rush was like a 10 or 11-yard rush, and then six more, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, Portland State's okay. Did you sense any panic at that point? Were the guys kind of looking around going, you know, because you hadn't won before?
Zero panic. I saw confidence. Run game adds to that. Defense playing well helps that. The kids were confident. There wasn't any factor going on. We went out. We scored to go up two again. I mean, it was a solid effort, and a couple minor but good adjustments by the staff at halftime. Okay, let's move to this now. And flashing back to 44 again, that Mike linebacker. Now it was kind of okay. How are we going to handle him now? Mm-hmm. You know, okay, let's run it this way. He'll be around the ball, but let's try to put a hat on him.
Mikey D'Amato, number 44. You look like you went to go talk to him after the game. What are you saying to that kid?
Well, it's. First off, you have to get permission. I don't want them to think I'm recruiting anybody. I asked prior once I learned some information about him. I was wowed, Johnny, and we actually walked. A great young man. We walked all the way. He walked me to my locker room. But get this one. Mike D'Amato, his great-grandfather, you'll know this, I'll say three-quarters of your listeners will.
Yeah. I know where you're going.
His great granddad, Custamato.
Wow,
how about that?
What a small world! Wow. So wasn't he Tyson's guy?
No, yeah, Tyson's. He's the one that got Mike Tyson, the boxer, off the street. You know, that's what he did for a living. He went. He helped. You know, youth. But Tyson was kind of the one he hit the lottery with. Got him off the street. Taught him how to box and. The rest is history until Don King took over. But
love that.
That was pretty cool to me. My dad's a fight guy. You know, I grew up. I thought everybody else is going to the movies. I'm going to some smoky ass gym watching Friday night fights with my dad. And I thought that was normal. You know.
Yeah.
Ring magazine. We didn't have Life or I don't know what other magazines there are. I thought Ring magazine was the only magazine they made. Anyway, I just heard that, and I talked to that kid. It was a pretty cool deal.
He's 6 foot 230. If he's 6'2 or 6'3, 230, he's not at Cal Poly, is he?
No, and I don't know. What they list him as?
6 foot.
Footer?
6 foot. Is he 6 foot?
Yeah,
probably not.
That's stretching it.
So he's like 5'10", 5'11".
With big old hammocks. He's got an ass and thighs that you know, you could lift a house with. But he's powerful. He's got some pop in him.
Bruce Barnum, Portland State football coach, is with us. All right, so you get a W. What do you say in the locker room? What is the locker room like afterwards?
Oh, I'll never forget. It was so excited. They were all over. I said, please, we're not taking these lockers with us. I mean, it was all beat up. They're renovating down there. They're renovating. So the locker, they had the coaches outside. The players were inside. If you use the restroom, I think the restrooms were like, I don't know, maybe new in 1941. You know, you kind of, if you had to sit down, you're scratching your knees with your teeth. And it was a mess. Rusty lockers, but they were all over me. It was a sight to see. I better stop there. How's that?
I like that. You guys, you know, take the trip home, and now you regroup for a game with Sacramento State at home against Sacramento State. On Saturday at 2:00, Sacramento State's good. After that, it's Montana in the big game at Providence Park on November 15th, and then on the road to Northern Colorado. These three games are not easy, but You've got some momentum, and we've seen what momentum can do. Oregon State riding a win streak now. You guys on a win streak. How does that feel going into Sac State with a wind at your back?
Much better. I mean, the vibe everywhere. Not that it was bad, but, you know, you can tell them to keep going to work, and it will pay off so many times. That finally happened. So now, you know, let's piece another one together. I cut it off Sunday night. I said, here's how real people are. Here's the real world. I said, did you have fun? You celebrate? We all did. Okay, back to work. It's over. Let's go back to work and try to get another one. And that was the approach.
How different will Sac State game plan with you, given that you're coming off a win? Does it get their attention? You've been in that scenario where you see a team that's struggling, all of a sudden they break through. Do you kind of look at the film a little differently, or do you go, okay, we better be on it? Like, these guys might, or where do you think Sac State's head is as they look at you guys?
Well, they're very confident. They're very new, I think, on defense. For instance, they only have one player from last year on their defense. They redid the entire program. They shuffled everybody in, shuffled another team in, or everybody out, got another team in. They might pay a little more attention to that one, you know, because that's a team that beat them, upset them. They turned the ball over five times against Cal Poly and lost to them. So I'm sure that's might get another view, but I mean, they're confident in what they do and they're good at what they do. They run the football, on offense, and that's their world. They have four tailbacks. They have a quarterback that can run. So it'll be the old, you know, read zone that you saw with Kaepernick when Nevada was very successful with him. It'll be that coming in, and on defense, they've got some guys, you know. I usually come on your show and say, oh, the front seven, John, I like these guys. I like all 11 of their guys. And they shuffle a bunch in. So it'll be a challenge, but that's why you play the game. Let's go.
If I'm Sacramento State, I'm looking at the fact that you rush for like 250 yards, and I'm going, okay, we're not going to let Portland State run on us. That may open some things up for your quarterback, John Chiave Tsongapulateli. He played pretty well in that Cal Poly game, but, you know, when you self-scout, you know, what are you expecting Sac State to do? What's the adjustment?
You just said it. I think they're going to go, man, they're going to press us and ask us, you know, challenge us to run the football and try to stop us with their front. To beat that, you try to find your fits, but then you're going to have to throw the football and protect, you know, so... we'll put something together. Let them throw quick. Let them throw long. Let them throw short. Max protect. 5-man protect. We'll try to keep them off balance, you know.
How does it feel, though? Because I always say you need to get the carrot. Like the horse or the mule needs to get the carrot once in a while, not just the stick. You guys got the carrot. Do you think that resonates, or how does that manifest itself with momentum, energy as you go back to practice this week? You know, our guys, are they walking a little taller around campus? What do you see?
They are. You know, you've heard people say it, how this game is 90-whatever percent mental. You got to believe, number one. You know, you have to believe you can win the game. And that the only way to get that and teach it is to feel it. You know, that's getting a little off mark, but that's it, winning in anything. In life, I mean, that's how you, if you experience it, you want it again. When you go to the playoffs, here's how I've noticed it as a coach. When you go to the playoffs, you say, wow, it's possible. You want to get back. And you've been there. You know how to do it. You know what it takes. So it can only help, not hurt. How's that?
The season as a whole, you probably don't feel good about the record. I think we have talked about the payday games you had to play, but here you have a win and you have some games down the stretch against some tough competition. 2 weeks from now, you're going to be at Providence Park in a game that we have talked a lot about. I think it goes beyond just this season and this team. It's good to see you guys back in that building. What would it mean to you to have some people show up? Oregon State's not in town. Oregon's playing a Friday night game. It's a affordable college football game for people who want to go see and you know, not to look too far ahead, but Montana's got maybe the best player in FCS football on their team for people who want to see that kind of caliber of play. 2 o'clock on November 15th, Providence Park. What would it mean for you to have some people not just show up Saturday to see Sac State, but 2 weeks from now being at Providence Park?
I'd mean the world. You know, it's our homecoming game. I'm sure many in this town remember all the sports, the football, the baseball that went through then Civic Stadium. Why not come and give it a peek, you know? Cut the grass before the Oregon game. Free up your the hikes will wait. The mountains will be there. The beach will be there. This game's only a one-time deal right now. We only have one down there. So why not drop everything and come support the Vikes? How's that?
I like it. That was a good pitch. It was a good, strong pitch. Go support the Vikes. Bruce Barnum with us. All right, before I cut you loose, like, all right, so you're talking to Customato's kid, grandkid.
How about that?
As you're leaving the field, but you guys are celebrating. Like, how do you know, how do you avoid, like, skipping a little too much? Because, you know, he's down about losing that game, but you're just talking as you're leaving the field. That it's an interesting vibe.
Well, sugar him up. I did. I didn't lie to him. I told him the game plan was built around him. Well, that's a pat on the back.
Yeah.
I don't know if any. He told me. He said, "Geez, I've never had a head coach talk to me." I'm like, "Well, you're a hell of a football player." So that might have helped a little bit. And I tried to. I just stifled it. You know, I think I'm pretty even keel, win, lose, draw. And I made sure he saw that. I wasn't going to say, "Hey, you know, got your ass."
Yeah.
I mean, that's not what it was about. I was, as much as a win, I was, I don't know, I'm not starstruck that often. I'm not an ambulance chaser, John, but Customato.
I know.
When I heard that, I was like, holy jumping catfish. I got to at least get one story out of this guy.
I like boxers. Like, so we've had on this show, I've had Tyson on. Mike Tyson came on. I had Larry.
Really?
I had Larry Holmes on. I had Buster.
Yeah.
I had Buster Douglas on, and
when was this? Where the hell was that?
I will send you the podcast links. You know, those boxers are good. You know what Larry Holmes told me is, you know, because he used to be a sparring partner with Muhammad Ali, and remember when I was a kid, Holmes fought Ali and just beat him up. Right? It was at the end of Ali's career. Do you remember that? You remember?
Yes, I do.
Oh, it was horrible. It was like if you were a Muhammad Ali fan, you're watching Larry Holmes just punish him. And Larry Holmes told me that when they were kind of in the clutch, he would give a body shot to Muhammad Ali and he would say sorry while he was hitting him. Sorry, sorry. Like, because he said he felt terrible, but he had to punch him. He said he knew what he was doing.
Right. Well, and the funny thing that I remember that story actually. And the funny thing that developed after that, everybody, Larry Holmes became, you know, everybody hated him.
Yeah.
I mean, you're destroying our legend, the spirit of the sport, from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali and everything that man had given the world, not just through a sport. Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
I also had Teddy Atlas on one time. So he was a trainer, and he was good, too. He was really good. But Tyson came on because he was doing that.
What year did you have Tyson?
Not that long ago. It wasn't like forever ago. It was maybe in the last 5 or 6 years. It wasn't, you know, crazy ago. But Tyson came on because he was touring around the country doing that one-man act. And he was coming to Portland and he was trying to sell tickets. And when he got on the show, it was an interesting conversation because, you know, he was at a point of his life. He's at this point of his life where he's more introspective. And by the way, I was rooting like heck for him when he fought the YouTuber. You know, he's fighting Jake Paul. I felt so bad for Tyson. Like, that's the thing about boxing. If you wait long enough, all of these guys end up getting beat up. Nobody goes out on top. It's sad.
They don't know when to retire.
So
and it's they. I don't know if it's the money or that feeling, you know, of walking away from it. I don't know, but you see it with boxing a lot. You know, guys that you don't are like, you know, Sugar Ray Leonard. I guess he dabbled with it a little bit, but with his eye injury, it kind of took him out of it. And I don't know. Yeah, that happens. You saw that a lot, but. But I still think I met the grandson of the guy that made Tyson, and that to me, and I've never talked to or met Mike Tyson, but the guy that created him and gave him that opportunity and trained him, that was, to me, that's big-time stuff.
Bruce Barnum, congratulations on a W. Keep it going. You got Sacramento State. For people who want tickets, go Vikes.com. Sacramento State coming to Hillsborough to play the Vikings on Saturday at 2 o'clock. Bruce Barnum, you got lightning in a bottle. You caught lightning in a bottle. Keep it. Keep it in the bottle.
Ready to go. Ready to go. Thanks for having us, John. I'll talk to you.
And there goes Bruce Barnum, Portland State coach. The Vikings will be at home for the next 2 weeks. They finish the season on the road. They've got a win. Can they keep it going? I have an interview scheduled with Portland State's president, Ann Cudd, coming up, I believe it is next week. We have her on next week. Steven's nodding at me, yes. We will talk to her sort of about the future of the program, Bruce Barnum's job security, all of that. But good stuff from Barnum and the Vikings. They go on the road and beat a Cal Poly team that has already got a win this season over the team they're playing this week. Can the Vikings keep it going? We will find out. Leave it here. Some parting thoughts coming up.